Blog Talk Radio.
Sexy Radio. I'm your host, Red Smother. We're going to be bringing it to you this evening. As we always do every Monday. And this, July 30th, 2012. We got some special shit for you this evening. And we got some guests that's going to be coming on and talking with us about this book. We're going to be doing the thing when you find out what's going on in their lives. So, shit, we're going to be bringing you the word to you. Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and here we are again on another Monday doing our thing like we always do. And just want to do a little bit of admin before we get into the show. I want to talk about a couple of things that's happening. Got a new book out there called, an anthology called Erotic Moments, Love, Lust, and Desire, that's out there. Get a chance to go out there on Amazon and pick it up and see what you think. that's out there with me and Omega Keys and Alina Brown. We did our thing and got together and wrote that book, and we want you guys to enjoy it. There's a little bit of sexy erotica going on there, so we're going to be doing that. Also, those of you that's been keeping up the Scandalous Motive series, book four has finally arrived. It just dropped a couple of days ago, Scandalous Motives 4. If you want to get that by Red Snapper, that's out there as well. So you might as well go ahead and pick that up. Give us some support while you're doing that. So we thank you very much for that. And right now, we got a couple of phone callers. I want to see if these are a couple of our guests or not. Starting with area code 773. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Mary, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
Okay, so I am doing just fine. So are you calling in to listen and see what's going on?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to get that thing going for you. So just hang on in there. We'll probably be coming back to you if you got any questions, okay?
All right.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, we also have here, this is a unlisted number. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Red, this is DV Hint, and I am calling from Houston, Texas.
Well, how you doing, Mr. DV Hint?
Hello,
you got it covered
Mr.
up today. You don't want
well,
nobody to know what's
know,
going on?
Like, no, like, I'm calling from the house. So, like,
oh, I see.
It's automatic.
Yeah, well,
we got the black on the house. So, you
okay,
know
not
is.
A problem. We understand that. And also want to let everybody know if you want to get the chat room is available as well. So you can ask your questions there if you don't want to say anything online. We got some guests that are supposed to be coming on. They're not here yet. We have
cool.
Michelle Janae Robinson. Yes.
I meant to ask, like, I didn't get the name of your book, that the book with you and Omega.
Oh, the name of that book is called Erotic Moments, Love, Lust, and Desire. That's the name of that book. It dropped, I think it dropped last month, and it's doing pretty well, but still want to kind of push it and get it going. It's a short anthology, three authors together doing a book together, and we have about, it's about 12 stories in there. It's pretty good. I got two. Amiga's got most of them because it was her project. But
right.
There's some hot stories, so you know you want to go ahead and check them out. It's available out there on Amazon. It's pretty cheap, and it's not that expensive, so you can also get it on Kindle and do it there as well. So
cool,
we're supposed to be having GPA on tonight, but I think he's going to come on the second half of the show because I think he's doing something tonight. Cotton kind of told me earlier that he was not going to be on the first segment, so it might be just us right now if we don't get
that
the other
all
two.
Right.
But you know how that goes. So what you been up to, man?
Oh, man, like I know you guys saw, well, I know you saw the new cover for Mood Rings.
Yeah,
so,
I saw that, and I thought that was very unique and retro at the same time because it kind of takes you back to the time
to
the when 70, the Mood Rings
yeah.
was out. Yeah,
like,
I love that.
That's what I told her. I was like, you know, if you know, when I think of Mood Rings, you know, I think, remember Janet Jackson's 70
right.
Love Groove? You
oh,
know,
yeah.
the afro, yeah. the colors, the greens, the purples. You remember how those, we used to have those felt pictures hanging up, you know?
Right. I got some
like,
in my bedroom right now.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, those would be perfect colors. You know,
right.
so or it'd be a perfect symbolism because I want somebody to come to my house and paint a mural on one of my walls.
Right.
I just haven't found the right person to do it yet. But, you know, that was my input. But she went and took it to like a whole new level. And when I saw it,
like
I just,
she always does. Melanie like, is so talented, man. I don't think she realized the talent that she has because she comes up with things and makes it materialize. And it's always more better than what you expect it to be. She's just a very talented woman.
Yeah, like I said, you know, you keep telling her that, it'll get to her head. So, you know, I got to bring her back down to earth. You know, she
well,
do it to me,
you
so,
that.
You know, it's only fair, you know, especially
yeah, well,
when
you know,
she's looking over.
Right, because, you know, I tell you, she, you know, you want to give people their props when they're doing well. Even if
right.
they're not, you want to try to help them out. But she does do a great job, and I wish I could have got in that book, but I had so much going on, I couldn't get in it. But like you said, there's pieces of the little black book, which I did make. So I'm glad to be part of that.
Yeah, in fact, a Little Black Book comes with, if you download Untapped, the anthology, the Little Black Book comes at the end of that. So you essentially get two books in one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great.
So, yeah, she found a way to basically combine the books together. And so now they're being sold as one big book. So it's like some big 300, 400-page novel. Right. If you download it or if you don't, you know, it comes, you know, like a mini dictionary.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
it's real cool.
I thought that was smart. Also, I want to let everybody, I kind of said it in the beginning of the show, the last installment to my series, Scandalous Motives, number 4, is out there now, just dropped a couple of days ago. So if you are waiting to see what's going to happen with those characters, they're there for you. So go ahead and pick that up when you get a chance and tell me what you think about it. Also, we're redoing all the Scandalous Motives books because you know how sometimes you put books out and they have a few mistakes or whatever. We're cleaning it up for you and we're putting new covers and doing all that. So we'll be getting that out there, revised editions. Actually, the first Scandalous Motives revised edition is out already, so you can get that as well on Kindle as well as paperback. Now, we also, let me see if this is one of our guests here, 810 area code. State your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, Red Snapper, this is Toy Honey, calling from Michigan.
Hey, Toy Honey, how are you? The supporter of supporters, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm just calling in to support.
We appreciate the love because she does do that. And you know, you whenever you want to come on the show, you know, you just come on. Matter of fact, you might be on tonight. I don't know. We're gonna see. Let's get you some poems ready just in case because I might have to call you. But we thank you for your support. So yeah, I know you'll be ready because you always got it like that. So yeah, so we'll definitely keep you on point. All right.
All right.
Okay. So, DV, what else is going on with you, man? Because I know y'all got so many things going on over there in Naughty Inc. And, you know, next week we're going to have the Crazy Fee Inc. Arthurs on here. So, you know, we got to be ready for that.
We're going to have who?
The Fee Inc. Arthurs will be here next week. All of them with their new anthology they got out. So, you know, they're going to be coming in and they're going to be talking all this stuff.
Oh, I know it.
So, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what they do, so. Yeah,
but
so.
You know me, Red. In addition to Mood Rings, doing something with the next Little Black Book, constantly typing. Like I said, I just finished redoing Valentine or revising Valentine, which seems to be like a crowd pleaser. In fact, it's gotten to the point where the book was 270, 280 pages, and with all the revisions, it's now like in the 320s.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was just basically a way to give back to all the people who contributed to helping me write the story and putting a fine polish over something that, you know, I felt deserved it. Other than that, it's just straight work. Well, you know,
I understand that. And you know, my thing is I really want to get the Scandalous Motives thing, you know, the series back out, revised. And then after that, I'm going to be moving on into the paranormal realm because I have a couple of series there that that people are definitely waiting on. Like the Peculiar One started off that vampire erotic series. And then there's the Succubus series that I have called Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress. So I got two of those I'll be going back and forth with. Don't know how many books is going to be in each one of those series yet. Just I know that there's part two coming. There's part ones are both out. So part twos are being written after I get through revising these. I got two more Scandalous Motives books to revise. Once those are done, then we're going to push those deeply, heavily out here and get out here and do some pushing. So
yeah,
I can go ahead and get
right.
those other two. You know, I'm going to start traveling and doing some traveling, yes.
Yeah, and also in addition to that, I'm going to be revising the website. So, like, for anybody who has not been to the website, it's www.naughtyinkpress.com. And so, like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with it, but I would appreciate some input as to, you know, the pros and cons, the likes and dislikes. So if anybody has not visited the website, you know, I'd appreciate it if you go ahead and knock it out tonight and, you know, just give me a rundown of the things that you enjoy about the website so that when I start doing the revisions, I have an idea of what to focus on.
Now, let me ask you, you wasn't planning on coming to St. Louis, were you, for Fall in the Books in September, were you?
No, I'll be on a cruise that week. In fact, that whole week I'll be on a cruise.
Okay, so you're doing your cruise the second week because I'm doing mine that first week. I'll be going the week of September 2nd through the 8th because my birthday is the 1st, so we'll...
Yeah,
I'm going to hit Miami on the 2nd, and then on the 3rd, Labor Day, I'm going to be on the boat. So Yeah, okay. All right. So
yeah,
then,
like,
and then the next weekend is you. And then, okay, I got it.
Well, no, the weekend, like, my birthday is on the week of the 16th. That, like,
right.
So from, like, the 14th all the way to the 21st, you know, I'm going to be, you know, hitting up three countries. I think it's Jamaica, it's Cozumel, and some other place.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's all right, man. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, since we're talking traveling, and then we're going to get into some other things, you know, the Olympics, man, you know that the next 4 years after this, you know where the Olympics is going to be, right?
Rio.
It's going to be in Rio, baby. Boy, if you're still single by then, we need to go and hit that Rio. You know, that's the spot. They're going to have an Olympics in Rio? Come on. Are you
serious?
Real
talk.
That's what they're going to do.
The NBA All-Star Game is here this year. You
know
what
I'm saying? Well, I'm going to have to come down there.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely do that. When is that
going
to be?
It's so nice. It's going to, boy, I want to say the second weekend of February. I'm pretty sure it's the second weekend of February.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll definitely have to make that. But Michelle Janae Robinson was supposed to be coming on this evening, and sometimes people, the publicists, you know, sometimes don't, and I'm not trying to put it on them, but sometimes they don't get that reminder. It was supposed to be her, and let's see, who else is scheduled? There's three actors. Well, we know GPA is going to be late, so he will be here. And then we'll have the other Arthur was a female from Australia, which her name, she probably, I'm sure she didn't know or didn't get the message or something. I tried to make sure, I always try to put this out and make sure they get it, you know, put it out a couple of times. And then sometimes the publicist, you know, you have to go to their publicist sometimes. I don't know what happens. I don't know if they change the priority on them or whatever, but it was Jessica Watson. I don't know if you're aware of her. She's supposed to be coming on as well. But that's fine. I also was on yesterday, T. Styles, on her radio show, and I was trying to get her to come on ours because, you know, there's, and I hate to do this, but I'm going to say this anyway, and not trying to dog the Urban Fiction or any of that. But let's just be real. Don't know what's going on with the Urban Fiction Realm, the Triple Crown Productions publications or whatever. Seems like everybody seems to be having a problem with this company, and they're doing a lot of suing stuff. And she was actually talking. The only reason why I'm saying this is because this has been put out by them, so I'm not spreading
right.
any rumors. You know, there's been some issue with the Urban Fiction authors and writing with Triple Crown and with Vicky Stringer and a lot of that. So a lot of that stuff, they're in court. You know, I mean, she's been in court with several of the authors, Joy King. You know, everybody's been fighting her. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if she's trying to keep all the royalties or what's, you know, what's going on, but it just seems to be an issue that's going on with
man.
That. And I'm just wondering.
It's like,
yeah, go ahead.
You can't take, I mean, everybody says business is business is business, which is true. But you can't go around doing the same things that you do on the street on a different level. Sometimes it works.
Right.
More often than not, it doesn't. You
right.
know, I mean, you can take that knowledge and apply it, but you can't cheat people out of what they do and not expect some reciprocity, not expect to get sued. You know what I'm saying? So,
my thing is this. I think that they're just taking, not cutting you off, but I think they're taking the hustle that they had, the hustle mentality, and they're taking it and they're using it with a different product. I'm not saying that they were drug dealers or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
even
you know,
with the hustle, you get what
right.
you pay for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You pay
right.
people what they're due, and you get what you get. You don't cheat people out of what they supposed, you know what I'm saying? You don't cheat them on the supply end. You damn sure don't cheat them on the money end. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Or you be out of business and out of breath.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
you can't really do that to people. You can't, oh, yeah, we're going to make it big, and then when you got all the money and they make it next to squat, you can't expect them to stay quiet.
Absolutely. Especially when they know the bookers are doing very well and making quite a bit of money. And, you know, because that happened with some other stuff. You know, we're not getting into Cherry Woods and all that. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but you and the agent.
You know, that one was, you know, she's a millionaire now because of some things like that. But, you know, I mean, not hating, just saying. You know,
let's be honest. We in the age of information where if somebody puts out something, it's getting everywhere. You
right.
know, it's not like the 80s and 90s. Well, really, you know, the 80s on down. 90s on down,
yeah.
where people could lock you into some BS contract some bullshit contract where you signed up for 9 or 10 albums or locked up for 9 or 10 books, and you have nowhere to go but to put out them albums or to put out those books. Now
right.
You're in the age of information where everybody knows. If you get in a bad deal, everybody going to hear about it, and everybody going to know
right.
to stay away from that. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
The days
and,
of
and
BS.
You know,
right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish your statement. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the days all that bullshit hustling, all that locking people into to bullshit deals is done and gone. You know?
Right.
Either do it the right way or don't do it at all.
And that's why, you know, a lot of times on the show here, we try to talk about those things, and those that are listening that wants to get into publishing or something, you know, we always try to get you the number. The number is 347-215-8539. It's Word Sexy Radio. We talk about everything here, not just sexual things, but we do try to help those that are serious about trying to publish and to get in this literary game, because it's not what everybody thinks it is. They think it's get rich quick, or they think that they get a book out that it's just going to just sell and nothing, you don't have to do anything but sit there and reap the benefits, or sit there and think that it's going to be in Walmart and all this because you got a book deal. I mean, it takes a lot to get there, okay? You just got to be smart, just like in anything else you do, and take your stuff to lawyers, let them read it. You know, it's just people get, you know, they get happy and put their stuff out, and people take your stuff and do things with it. So you just got to be careful. You want to make sure that you don't get screwed or fucked over, because that's what it's about here. That's what we try to not let you do, is get that. So, you know, the publishing game is not a joke. You know, being a publisher myself is really not a joke. And, you know, it's a hard work. It's a lot of hard work in this.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes wonder why did I even start it? Because, you know, I'm telling you, man, being a publisher, you got your people are on you, and they want to make sure that you know, you're not doing wrong, which you don't want to, but they expect you to do certain things, and you have to let them know with the contract that you're only allowed, or you're supposed to only do so many things. A lot of times, the misnomer is people think that when you're with a company, they're going to automatically just market you and stuff, and that's not true. You know, that's not true. Go ahead.
The bottom line is, man, you shouldn't ask them to do anything that you aren't willing to do for yourself. Which is
right.
why I would advocate people self-publish first, so they have an understanding of how the business works. So if BS comes down their way, they can see it a mile before it gets to you. If you don't
right.
know what the hustle is, it's like, you know, somebody just drops some drugs in your lap. They like go out and sell it. If you don't know what the hustle is, you're gonna get screwed, and that's just
right.
It doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if it's a book of medicine. Somebody drop a big ass book of medicine in your lap. Say, here, go practice how to be a doctor, or go to your residency. You ain't gonna know what the hell you're doing. So sometimes
right,
you need
right.
to take a step back and learn what the ins and outs of the hustle is before you jump in. You know, everybody
yeah,
wants
right.
the mighty dollar, but don't nobody want to do
right.
what it takes to work for it. They want it,
exactly.
but they don't want to work for it.
And you're right. That is true. A lot of times, like you said, people just, you know, they expect certain things. I don't know. I mean, everybody wants to see their book in Walmart or Barnes & Noble or something like that. But, you know, it can get there. I'm not saying it's impossible. It can get there. But the thing is what are you doing to make it get there?
Right.
You
it's going to
get there. Yeah.
But remember, it gets there based on what you put into it. You
right.
know, if you don't want to put anything into it, if you just want to kind of coast, then expect to make nothing. Expect to go nowhere. Expect to have nothing.
Right.
You know, that's why you constantly hear people on Facebook, you know, I'm going to this venue, I'm writing this many books, you know, I'm revising this book, you know, or some person somewhere offered me a deal on this book. What do you guys think? It's constantly people in it, you know, especially on Facebook and Twitter, interacting with one another to see what the best course of action is. But if you just want to lay by the wayside and think that somebody else is going to push that cart uphill for you, you got a big thing coming downhill for you, and that's just real.
Right. And, you know, I don't mind helping people. I don't mind helping you to get on the right direction, but I'm not going to do all the work for you, and I'm not going to do like some authors would do. Some authors I see on Facebook and all that, they're charging you to get information from them. If you want to get your book published, get with me, and for a fee, I can do this. I'm not going to do that. But if I see that you're serious and that you really want to do something, I can tell you what you need to do, but you got to make sure you got a product that's worthy. You know, you got to put the work in. You got to get the editing done. There's things that you need to do because you need to be proud of it. If you're not proud of what you're putting out and it's garbage, then why? How do you expect somebody to want it? You know, I mean, you got to, you know, make sure, like you said, the revisions and all those things happen. You have to do that. You know, and in revision, you make the books a little bit better. Like you said, your book is a little thicker now because you added some things that you didn't do before and you had a chance to come back and relook at that. You can make the book better in the revision. And that's what's going on with my books. Actually, I've even changed the sizes of my books. Most of the books I've done were 6x9. I made these 5x8s because people hold that better in their hand.
Right.
So I'm using that concept. It's making my books a little thicker, but, I mean, it's still going to be that easy read and everything that people want.
The age of internet is a wonderful thing. You know, and the reason why is because somebody sit up there and say, okay, you know, to get your ISBNs and to do your cover and, you know, to do your format, and okay, let's go ahead and charge you $3,500. All right, you like, okay, $3,500. That's what I need to do to make my book, you know, get put on the shelves. Wrong. You know, that's simply what they're charging you to put together your book, and not even a marketing strategy, just basically to put it together and put it on the shelf or put it in a file, you know, access. The truth of the matter is, for $3,500, not only could you do all of those things yourself by looking for the people that do these things well and do them cheaper, but with $3,500, that's $1,500 extra dollars for you to plan out your vacation budget, the places that you're going to go to promote your book, or the websites that you're going to pay to help promote your book. You know what I'm saying?
Or the books that you're going to need in your supply that you're going to go out to sell.
Right. That
you
know,
have to
even
pay
if,
them as well.
Right. Even if you're going to stay in the same city, you know, that's what you're going to pay, you know, city, you know, like, whereas fees are concerned, to get your book into the hands of the public. You know, every dollar that you're spending is an investment. But if you're investing in somebody else, more often than not, they don't have that same investment in you. They'll take your money and they'll put together a book. It may not be the book you wanted, but hey, you know, that's the book you paid for.
Right. And another thing, too, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, what I'm about to say, but I'm not saying do all of them this way, but you got to be prepared to also, you're going to have to take a hit. And what I mean by that is you're going to have to give some of your books away. I hate to say it, but you're going to have to do that because sometimes that's what it takes to get you noticed. I'm not saying give it all to your friends and stuff. I'm saying that you're going to have to send books out to people. If you want them to read them, you got to get them, the people that's going to do reviews and all this stuff, you need to send them free books. You don't expect them to go buy the book and do a review on you, you know, or whatever. I mean, you may have to be at a function that's going on, and just to get exposure, you may where they give two books away, a prize or something. I mean, it just depends. You know, those things you do, you're going to have to do. You're going to have to give out so people know who you are, because the product is not. You're the brand. The product is not the brand. You are.
You are.
So if you want people to know what's going on with you, you're going to have to kind of bite the bullet a little bit and give it away. I know we talked about the 99-cent Kindle sales.
Right.
How much work you put into it and doing that. But sometimes it's okay to do that for about a month or two. But you don't want to do that, have your book, you do all this work, and then forever it's 99 cents.
99 cents.
All you get is maybe 35 cents. But look at all the work you put into it.
Yeah, I mean, think about the physical book. I could tell you everything you need to know about physical sales, because when I go to venues, sometimes what do you hear people say? Oh, I don't read those books, you know. You know, you have to be able to combat everything that people say to you. Well, I don't read those books, or, you know, if I'm interested but I don't have the money, man, Red, you know, my books sell for $15 whenever I'm out and about. Whenever I go to functions, it's $10. But at the end of the day, if somebody comes up to me and be like, look, you know, I spent all my money on other books, you know, it's a hustle. I'm like, look, what is it going to take? Hello?
Yeah,
I'm like, what is it going to take for me to get this book in your hands? You know, I take, you know, people are like, oh, I only got a couple dollars. Well, look, you got $5. Go ahead. I'm going to sign this book for you, and I want you to read it, and I want you to give me feedback. And it'd be those people, you know, that got $5 in their pocket, you know, you taking a hit. But the most important thing is you got that book in their hand. I'm not saying, hey, here, take this free book. No. You know, you always want to get compensated something. But for all those people that walk up to me and tell me, well, I buy books on the internet. Well, then you're not supporting authors, you're supporting a business. And that business is not us, it is Amazon.
Right. Right.
You know, and I tell them that, and people feel bad, which is fine. I will make you feel bad if it means I'm selling you this book.
Right.
But ultimately,
well, my thing
to
is,
know,
sometimes there are some people sometimes that really want the book and just don't have the money.
Right. And just don't have the money.
I give them the book.
Like,
because
I
want
not.
Them to enjoy it. I
because
I'm
gonna tell you, but cash or not, like I carry my little square around, and if you can't spend, if you go out around and spend $100 on all this BS around this area, then you can certainly invest $5 in another man's future, or another female's
That's
future.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess if you want to spend $6 on some cigarettes, I guess you can go ahead and buy a book, right?
You know, if you're gonna walk out of here and spend $8 on a hot dog, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like this, I guarantee you, this book gonna last you a lot longer than a hot dog will.
Right.
I know you hungry, but hey, you know, you got a debit card in your hand. I got this square right here. Invest $5 in the black man's future.
Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, it's just, and it depends on how you talk to people, too. When you're
right.
selling these books, you know, you can't have an attitude like you all that. I mean, even if they want to come talk to you about, and we always get this question, I want to write a book, and then you ask what they want to write about it. I want to write about my life, and then when you say, okay, you want to write about your life, okay, you don't want to sit there and laugh at them or whatever. You know, I always ask them, well, what is your life? What happened in your life that you think that we should want to read about it? And how would you present it in a manner where people will want to read about it? Because things that happen to you, it's about you. So, of course, it's going to be important to you. But you
right.
got to make it important to the reader that's going to read
right.
it. Why is it important
that
we read it? Right. So how
and
do you
that's
do
what
it?
I tell
you
them.
Know? Right.
Tell me your story. You know, if you got a story to tell, tell me what it is. I want to hear it. And if you can tell me what your story is and I'm interested, I'm going to tell you to write that book. I'm going to tell you to get that book in the hands of somebody who can put that book together. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going – but if I asked you, okay, tell me about your book, you're like, well, you done already missed out. You
yeah.
done already missed out. You know, simply because
yeah, you know,
if you can't explain to me what your book is about, I don't want to hear what your book is about.
Right.
And that's how readers are. If you don't know that much about your book that you can explain it to me in 5 or 10 seconds, really like 10 to 15 seconds, then you're clearly not that involved in what you do.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's very important on how you you know, present yourself and the way you do it. I mean, sometimes you get tired of the questions, but still you can't act like you're just so, you know, distraught that you can't deal with it. I mean, you know, sometimes people are sincere. They just don't know. They don't get an opportunity to talk to
Can't be sensitive.
You know, I mean, you're right. And another thing, since you said sensitivity, since you're talking that, with reviews, you know, everybody's not going to like your book. You just got to realize, you know, you want everybody to. You don't want to get bad reviews. But it's going to happen. And it's a shame that the people that are doing the reviews are really not. What I don't even know what it takes to be a person to do a review. I mean, you buy a book, you read it, you can write one. But the thing is some of these people act like that's their profession, and they go out and essentially try to dog you because they look for fault.
Yeah, you know? But you're always going to run into those people. Always.
Right.
But you got to have a thick skin. And I'm going to tell you why. Because 9 times out of 10, if you're sitting at a table and you don't get up off your behind to introduce yourself to readers, they're not going to walk over and introduce themselves to you. You got to have a thick skin. You have to be able to walk up to people and tell them about what you do and then have them brush you off and walk away. And you're like, fine, I'll just move on to the next one. It happens to all of us.
Right.
So, but until you get to that point where you can accept that and move on, where you can see a review and it hurts for a day or two, but you like that's not every reviewer, then this is the wrong business for you.
Right.
Because you have to, like, I remember maybe it was about a year ago, remember when a reviewer left a comment and then the author just went and berated the reviewer, went off on him, told him, you know, threatened legal action. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
You remember that? You know, think about how petty that was. And think about how people look at that author, because the reviewer simply gave their review. Doesn't mean it was good. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it was bad. Doesn't mean it was fair. Doesn't mean it was equitable. Doesn't mean anything. That's the person's interpretation of what they saw. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
And you're right. But the only thing about that is it's a shame that people actually look at that, and they'll make their judgment sometimes on that. But the thing is, it's a chance you take, though. It's just like anything. You know, it's everybody's opinion.
But that's why people always go to the bad reviews first, because they feel that if this person has a vendetta, then it will show. But if this person has some insight, then maybe I should listen to it. Because God knows how many people got their friends on there giving them positive reviews on a book that's absolute crap. You know it like I know it. I've seen reviews, 20, 25 reviews for a book. Every one of those person is their first review, and this book is wonderful. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a chance on this book. Book is crap. Book is absolute garbage. Right. Maybe gouge my eyeballs out and throw up all over it.
That was like last week when we had Jerika Armstrong on here. She was talking about how this individual was putting reviews on their books and talking about typesetting and stuff like that. I mean, the average reader is not knowing, doesn't care
what
about typesetting and all that. So how are they going to be talking about the book was typesetted well and blah, blah, blah? I mean, unless you're an author, you know, and doing that kind of thing, you wouldn't even be worried about it. You worried about the content and if the character development is right and that it intrigues you enough that you believe what you were reading. That's what you're looking for in a review. Now, you know, sometimes when you got people going there, well, I'm just looking for all the periods weren't in the right spot and there wasn't a comedy here and blah, blah, blah. You know, those are people that's looking to show smartness or whatever it is that they're trying to show.
You have to look at the review. If they have the audacity to talk about the mistakes you got in your book, but then they got a bunch of mistakes in their critical review
or they
of your
don't
book.
Even, right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, seriously? You know, I mean,
yeah,
I'm
you
not
want a review on me and you can't even
but
spell.
But I'm going to really, you know, really shake my head at it. Like, look, you can't even write a review and you got the audacity to talk about me missing periods? You know, sometimes it's laughable.
Yeah, it is very funny.
You know, but at the same time, so what? Everybody's going to give review. Reviews are simply interpretations, what they see versus what I see. I don't see the same thing that a bad reviewer sees. I mean, I see the same thing a good reviewer sees. But it is what it is. These are how other people feel, and I invest no level of self into, you know, what other people say. The only thing that matters is the people who contact me and say, look, I loved your book, you know, this, that, and the other. If you can talk to me one-on-one and tell me the pros and cons of my book, I have more respect for you than some, you know, faceless, nameless person who is demeaning my book. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I give my email to everybody who reads my book, you know. So if you have something to say to me, we can chop it up on the phone. We can talk it up through emails. And I love that exchange because it makes me a better person and a better writer. But at the same time, the faceless, nameless person who wants to write a bad review, they clearly had no intention of contacting me to let me know the pros and cons. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, like I know, like Author X knows, like everybody knows. If somebody's going to put a bad review and they let you know why, they call you directly and say, look, you know, these are the things, this could be in a really good book, but these are the things I'm going to put in my review, it softens the blow. It doesn't make it that harsh. But more often than not, they don't
do
that.
My thing is, right. Well, a lot of times it'll be these book clubs or whatever that's doing a review or these reviewing agencies, but they still don't tell you. They might put the name of the agency, like it might be, I ain't going to say a name of one of the reviewing companies, but or reviewing people, groups, but they won't put the individual who did it. They'll just say that book club or that APOO, whatever review or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it just, you know, if they want to be hide behind that, that's fine. My thing is, if you're going to write a review, be bold enough to say who you are and why, like you just said. I mean, you know, don't just put one out there and you can't say who you are, you know.
Yeah,
you don't want nobody to know you did it. You know, it's just,
I would tell all reviewers this. If you can say it to their face the same way you wrote it down, then I can respect what you got to say. But if you're not willing to say these things to an author's face, and you really to go behind their back, because being on the internet makes you nameless and faceless. You know, it's like the racist. You know, you'll see something on race, and then people will come out and put the most racist statements they can put online, simply, you know, for shock value. And to me, that's what some bad reviewers do. They simply put up things up there for shock value, you know, just to see how mean they can be. Sometimes, like, I've seen reviews where they attack the author directly, like, you suck, you should never write a book again. Like, seriously? Who the hell are you to tell them that?
Right, exactly.
You know, now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I be thinking that. But if I'm not going to say it to that person's face, I damn sure ain't going to put in a review. Because, Red, man, right. How many books have you read? You're like, this person should never write again. But you damn sure ain't going to write a review saying this person should never pick up should ever look at a keyboard.
Exactly. See, my thing is I wouldn't tell nobody they should never write again. I would say, look, if you really want to do this, you might want to take some actions
right.
or courses or something to get yourself better in your craft. If this is the craft you want to be in, then you should be improving every time you write. I, myself, try, every time I write a book, it should be better than the last one.
Right.
The content should be better. You should see improvement.
Subject
from the
matter,
first
right.
book you've written all the way to now. The subject matter, how you present something, how you
Details.
Create your characters, everything should be up to, it should be new. It should be, if you're not trying to grow in it, then what are you doing? I mean, it's not that you're going to lose your audience. People are going to know that. If they read you, they're going to know, they're going to see the improvement as well. And if they like what they're reading that you write, they're going to like it. Or if
right.
they don't, they'll tell you. Well, you probably should have done this on this one, but, go back to what you was doing here. That's what the fans are supposed to do, not say, this is fucked up,
right.
I
tell people all the time, there are some people, everyone can write, but not everyone can tell a story.
Right.
And that's just what it is. The great thing about writing is you can refine what you do. You can write a better story. You can tell
mm-hmm.
a better story. But there are some people who are too proud to ask for help, to pay for help, to seek help. Don't be that damn proud, because you're setting yourself up for failure. Anybody who has ever done anything great, ask for help. They had help. There are people that supported
it. The smartest
them.
Thing to do, and I should have did this. The smartest thing to do is take a creative writing class and use the book that you're going to write as your project in the class, and get the people in the class to review it. You can get the feedback you need and get the things you need to get the book correctly done.
Right.
And that'll get you help.
There's
a
website.
Yeah.
Websites that you can submit it to before you even publish
right.
anything. Like,
right.
I used to submit my stuff to Literatica. Before I even published my books, I was submitted to see what people who read these stories for a living, they put thousands of stories on there, and I wanted to see, how I stood. And so I would let these people read it and give reviews. And more often than not, they were honest. Some of them were brutal. But as
yeah.
a writer, you have to expect that.
Well, especially in that field, in erotica, you just
right.
can't play in erotica. And not that all genres are not. You like science fiction, we know you got to really have yourself, you got to know mechanics of things, because people that read that, they know physics and stuff like that. So you got to be
right.
able to say something. When you put something together saying it's going to work, it's got to scientifically work, okay? Same thing with erotica. You want to make sure that when you do scenes that it can actually be physically done, that you can actually have sex in the manner that you're talking about. You got to make sure that if you twist it one way, that you're not all of a sudden upside down and, you got to make sure everything
yeah.
makes sense when you're doing
it.
It's like
when writing a mystery. You
right.
can't put clues in the book that go backwards. You're like, wait a minute, in this chapter they said this, because they get all over you. People
right.
who are really in the mystery books, will any clue that's wrong or out of place or doesn't make sense, they'll call you out on it, and they are right,
right.
And they write to do it. Because
right.
readers are the most intuitive people out there. They know. And when you jerk in a chain and you're just trying to put something out, they know. But
that's why you have to make sure that you study what you're going to do. Do research on the area that you're going to write, especially the vampire stuff or anything paranormal, the incubus stuff, the succubus, any of that kind of stuff. You need to make sure you know what you're talking about.
No, yeah.
Like what I do in my books, I put in the beginning, I might put in the preface or prologue, I might put the definition of what it is I'm writing about, like a vampire is such and such and such, whatever, and just to give you an idea. Not that you're dumb, it's just so that you can see where we're going with this. Same thing with a succubus, incubus, or whatever. You put that there. This is what that is. It's a succubus is a female demon that comes to men and has sex with them and takes their soul. Whatever. You want to be able to, so people know what it is that they're reading.
Right, but yeah,
and
like I told a friend of mine
that.
A friend of mine, was writing a book about the military, and they use military terms. And I had no idea what the hell these military terms meant. So
right,
I was like, well,
why don't you
put something in there so that the people who aren't in the military, who don't know what the military is, or don't know the verbiage, you know, or the colloquialisms of military, right, that they have an idea of what it means.
You need to put
makes sense.
Put in the back of the book a glossary of what all the acronyms mean, so they can look it up and know what it's talking about. Or like it was APC, what is that? An armored personnel carrier, whatever. You know, you want to be able to tell people what those things are because they don't automatically know. And if you are military, especially in the Army, acronyms are used so much. It's like almost everywhere.
It's second nature, right.
Because everybody expects you to already know what it is in the military. But if you're not groomed in that, then you won't know. So that's good that you told them that.
Yeah, because you know, my cousin does that. He like, you know, because this dude who is SPC second class, I'm like, man, whoa. What the hell is that? You know,
right.
So, I mean, there are things that the common man does not know that, you know, sometimes you take for granted that people do know.
Right.
Which is why, you know, when I do research about guns, especially in Valentine's, she carries a lot of guns. So, and when I'm doing research about guns, I let people know whether it's a handgun, whether it's a machine gun, shotgun, you know, because not everybody knows. You know,
and you put the nomenclature of what the gun is and what it can do and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. You know, how big what kind of caliber it is, because not everybody realizes, you know, what calibers, you know, the guns come in different calibers. You know, they'll look exactly the same. There'll be two different calibers. And simply what a caliber is determined, you know, the type of bullet he uses and the kind of hole it's going to put on the other side of that bullet once it's released.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes you need to let people know these things because not everybody is as in tune with what you're writing as you are.
And nothing else, it lets them know that you are serious about what you're trying to give them by going and doing the research, taking the time out to give them this information. It's a win. It's a both side thing on this. You know, if you feel enough about the story that you want to research and find out what's going on and talk about a subject, then you should be able to do it.
Like explain.
Shonda Tate Dinsley, she has a new book out, The Secret She Kept, and it's about a woman that's bipolar, and she marries a man, and he doesn't know she's bipolar. So, you know, she had to do a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of things that goes on in this book where the woman is actually freaking out and doing things. But, you know, you have to go and do research on the symptoms and things of people that go through this type of thing in their life. So why would you write about somebody who's bipolar and then you can't? You don't know what's going on with them. You just
Now, yeah, but that's the thing. You know, you have to show the symptoms because people who have family members who deal with depression and bipolarism and who are manic depressants, they know, or even schizophrenia. You know, people who have family members or, you know, they themselves are dealing with it, they know. And when they're reading something that doesn't make sense, they call you out on it.
Right. And you know, everybody's got that uncle or aunt that's a little off or a little different, you know what I'm saying? So and a lot of times people will play it off as that when it's really a mental illness or something that's going on and they just don't want to admit it. And that's really, black people do that a lot. We don't take people to the hospital or to the doctor and let them get treated for things because we'll just say, oh, he's just a little crazy, a little off, when it could be something as simple as that.
Yeah, but so, we have been conditioned. Yeah, we've been conditioned to stay away from medicines because we had this belief that they're going to kill us. You go in the hospital for a hangnail, they come out with your heart. And, yeah, he was dying. That hangnail was it was deadly. It was terminal.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, I have a cousin who got her leg amputated. Diabetic, didn't want to admit it, you know, got her leg amputated because it turned black, you know, and she didn't want to do anything with it. I'm sorry, if your leg turned black, that's always a bad sign. And it just kept creeping up, till they was like, look, everything below the knee, you got to go.
Wow.
You know, could have been, you know, at first it was just a toe. Then it was a foot. Then it was like half your leg. You know, so, I mean, you know, getting back to the point, you know, these are the things that we deal with. But people who are dealing with family members who are diabetics, who, you know, who have sickle cell, who have heart conditions, who have, you know, stuff that we typically deal with, cancer, they will know if you talk about a certain drug being used for cancer, ain't for cancer. You know what I'm saying? They'll call
you
out on that.
Yes, you're right. That is absolutely true. And, you know, we just want to make sure that we know what we're talking about when we put something out. Now, I'm going to ask Toy, honey. I know she didn't come over here to be on the show, but I'm going to ask her anyway. Toy?
Yes?
When is your book, when is your book coming out? Or is it out already?
No, it's not out already. I didn't know it would take this much to put it
well,
to a book, but I already got a graphic designer, I already got an editor. So right now, I'm getting that together. And
so let me ask you.
I'm pushing
kinda,
for it before the end of this year.
Right, okay. So kind of give us a little experience. You've been listening what we've been talking about, right, as far as publishing and what you have to do to get there and all that, right? So can you
mm-hmm.
kind of give us a little bit of piece of your experience of what you've been going through and trying to get your book? And you do poetry, and a lot of people think poetry is not the same as a novel. It's a little different, but it's just as important as anything else because it's a literary project. So tell us what you've been experiencing and what you've been going through to get your book out.
I have been basically learning from, how can I say this? I'm trying not to drag it out for y'all, but I have been learning a lot, especially how important it is to protect my work.
Uh-huh.
And I have been learning from y'all, that's why I love calling the show, because I know Rare Snapper always has some tips for how to really promote your book. So
right.
I was learning that from your show, and I'm glad you opened up my mic because I want to ask you this. Okay, my book is erotic pieces and it's romantic pieces. So
okay.
if I'm standing there with my books, my paperback books, and I want to pitch it to a customer who doesn't even know about Toy Honey, now it's erotic and romantic pieces, How could I pitch it?
DV, go ahead and answer that.
Man, I'm not a poetry pitcher, but ultimately...
Just give her the experience on how to pitch it, because it doesn't matter what the subject is. I think...
Right.
Well, the same.
I tailor my conversations based on the nature of the book. If I ask people first, what kind of book do you like? You know, what kind of books do you typically read? And then they'll let you know what kind of books they read. So if they say, I like action, you know, I'll gear them towards Valentine. If they say, I like romance, I gear them towards, you know, my first story, If You Don't Tell. The hardest sell is something like a poetry or an anthology. And the reason why is because people like to read continuously, you know, and that is the hardest sell with things like poetry and anthologies. Because as soon as you get into it, guess what? It stops. And it's like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, so basically when pitching something like poetry, what you would have to, what, the best way to do it is kind of let them hear it. Stand on your podium and recite those poems and say it with such vigor and passion that people stop by in front of you and like, look, is that your poem? Yes. You know, and that draw people towards you by the passion of your words and the intensity of your voice. Because once they hear that, they'll come to you. You won't have to pull people out of the crowd. You know, and that's kind of the thing that I would advocate. It's kind of like going to, you know, a poetry festival. The really fun ones to listen to are the ones that act out their poems or act out their stories. The person that stands on the stage and just like, this is my poem, the very monotone, monosyllabic, you know, people who don't want to move around, those are the ones that you really don't want to buy anything from anyway.
So
what
and
I would
if
suggest.
I wanna, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I know what
I was
going to
say.
Go ahead. No, you first.
Now, what I was going to say is, and you're probably going to do the same suggestion. Me, with poetry, what sells you more is audio. I think if you have the audio versions of your book that people can actually hear it, and you saying it with the feeling that you have, with the music in the background, that's going to sell more than the books. Now, you have the books. They'll want that because some people want to hold the book, too, and be able to read that poem. But if they got that audio that go along with that book and you send it as a package or something, that is going to get them to really get into what you're doing because they hear the feeling of the author that wrote it and what they were trying to convey. That's why Cotton is so successful in her poetry because she does it in such a manner, even though she says she's not a – she said she's a soft-spoken poet, but she's still erotica to me. She
right.
does it in such a way that it's so sexy and sensuous that people want it, and they think it's about them when it isn't. That's the way you have to present it.
Right, and, you know, to basically jump off of something Red said, he hit it right on the point. It's the audio version of it all. Like, the people who were never going to buy your books are going to take attention, you know, pay attention to you, and all of a sudden you've bought them, you've sold them on your novel. The people who approach you wanted to buy your book anyway. You know, they were just curious. The people who didn't want to buy your book, you provide them something a little bit more, and then all of a sudden they're coming up to you saying, oh, man, that was beautiful. You know, can you sign a copy, you know, or how much is it? You know, that's my favorite word, you know, my favorite sentence, how much is it?
Right.
You know, and they will come up to you.
Yeah.
Mm. So, but
you
poetry,
know,
like, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Resnapper, it's funny that you said that because it's, excuse me, one of my pieces that's going to be in my book. When I wrote this piece, I loved this piece so much, I said, because I'm not really too much of a spoken word artist, but when I'm on these shows and I spend my pieces, I've gotten a little bit better with acting, you know, putting some, how can I say, some feeling into it.
Presentation.
And when I recited this piece, I was like, I got to do a track on it where it's music in the background, and it has a little singing, and, you know, me singing a little bit in there. I was like, I got to find somebody to produce this.
Well, you can do it. Listen,
it's funny you said that.
And let me play this real quick for you. It's real short. This is something that Cotton has done. It's like a 1 minute and 20 seconds. It's a poem. And she did this at home herself. I want you to tell me what you think about this. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Watch the movement of his lips. Listen to the sounds of his face. His lips can't hide. They sometimes say more than the musical sounds that come out of his mouth. His lips. They softly moisturize yours. They lightly kiss the back of your neck. His lips. They soothe your soul. His lips. That love on every part of your body shines. They quietly tell you what's tattooed on his heart. Allow him the pleasure of pressing his lips against yours. Now quietly listen for a moment. His eyes just notice you're only paying attention to his lips. And then he gets quiet. Can you still hear him? Beautiful.
Now you see how she did that?
Mm-hmm.
You see how simple that was? That's what you're going to have to do to sell your poetry. And it also will sell the books as well, because it will make them want to actually see the words. Some people might want to see the words, or they just might want to just listen to that while they're in the car or whatever, or with their mate. That's the objective, especially when you sell an erotic-type poetry or a sexual, sensuous-type poetry. Well, any kind of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put your feeling into it so that people get it, what you're trying to put out. So yours is easier to do than it is for us, because we write erotica. We got to be able to sell you without making it porn. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, if you put too much sex in the book, people think it's all just sex running over each other.
Right.
But you gotta have a storyline that's so good that if you took the sex out, you still got a book. That's the objective.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I try to do. And, you know, you just gotta be able to present that. And a lot of people have told me that I should have my books in audio. And I was thinking about that. I would have to have someone that has a sensuous voice that can actually read them. You'll let you try to say I do. But anyway, and read the books in such a manner where, you know, you're saying these things like he took his, you know, his member or whatever, or his, you know, his tool. And, you know, I mean, if people want to hear this stuff.
His junk. His weenie. his penis.
Yeah,
oh, look at that noise. He took his penis and put it in her vajayjay.
You just got to be able to do it in such a manner, that people want to read it and are good with it. So if you can make an audio, and you can do this, there's lots of ways to do this. You can do it on CreateSpace. You can do it on. There's a lot of ways that you can make these CDs and get it done. See, a lot of people don't know. They think you only can do books on CreateSpace. You can even do a movie from CreateSpace. You just gotta there's ways, easy ways to do this stuff. And you can sell your CDs, and of course you have to get Amazon some of your money, but it's a way to get you started until you can get copies on your own to do what you need to do. I mean, that's just one avenue. There's lots of ways to do it, because a lot of times when you try to do audio with people, of course, money comes in play, and then like DB was saying, $3,500 earlier, some people charge you all this money, and you got a garbage product. So you just gotta make sure that, she did that at herself at home. And you have to find out what program she used to do that, because there's a program she used that she downloaded and was able to make that rendition of what she did there. Now, GPA is the guy that's with her as well that's going to be on the show, hopefully, at the second half. Well, he's not here yet, so he may not be. But anyway, he's pretty good as well what he's doing with his poetry stuff. But like I said, you just got to be able to... The objective is to get out there and put feeling into it for you.
Right. Communicate with your audience. And once you have that communication open, they'll be coming up to you. Because they all the people really want to see is how much passion do you have in whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
Because if you walk up to somebody who's basically, pitching and it sounds good, you hurt to tell them no. It's like, But if you see that it's going to support their dream, you'll invest in it, whether it's something that you would have paid for or not. You kind of want to see people succeed.
Right.
But if you're not communicating with people, they could care whether or not you succeed. If you don't get off your behind and engage people, they're like, so what? You didn't walk up to me and say hi, so I could give a shit whether your book sells or not. You have to be able to, and it's just like you. If they're giving away free stuff at the store, if then, lady says, you want to try free stuff? You're like, I wasn't going to do it, but since it's free, I'm going to go ahead and do it. More often than not, you're not going to walk up to her and be like, can I have some of your free shit?
I want to play one more. This gentleman is supposed to be on the show, but I guess he's still tied up. I want to play this one. It's short as well. And just to give you an idea of the male perspective of the poetry that he's done and what he's did with this. This is a guy that travels with Cotton, and Cotton. So hold on just a second. I want to play this one too.
GPA, the poetic unknown, and the title of this piece, Drowned in 548. With her right leg draping his left shoulder, her left leg doing the opposite of the right. Her ample backside spilling into his palms, his vision face to face with overflowing life-giving fountain, he began his count. 60 licks swiftly, 60 licks slowly, 24 circles, 7 figure eights, 30 brushes upon the protrusion, 12 dark upon the basin floor, 365 alternating clockwise and counterclockwise swirls, finally drowned. In 548, GPA, the poetic unknown, titled this piece, Drowned in 548, my poem.
So you see what I'm saying? How you have to do that. That's how you're going to have to do it. If you want that to be, that's it. So are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so now you know what you got to do, right?
What is his name again?
GPA. He called himself
I've
the greatest poet alive. Of course you have.
I have heard of him.
Yeah, he's a big time poet that's out there. Yeah. And him and Miss Cotton, that's on the show here, they're touring together right now. So that's what they do. And it's not really spoken word, it's poetry, because there's a difference
right.
between the two. A lot of people think that spoken word and poetry is the same thing, but it is. You know, when you do a spoken word, a lot of those people get out there and they be like, his pussy, oh, I love his, whatever, you know, that's, you know, anyway, spoken word.
Yeah, there's a conviction behind it. You know, whenever you hear somebody doing spoken word, there's a big conviction behind what they're saying. When it's poetry, it's a recital. You know, you kind of recite, but in the tone that your poem is deserving of. If it's sensual, then you want to talk sensually. If it's violent, then you may want to talk loud, you know?
Right.
So just kind of like that.
And it's nothing wrong with those type of poems. I mean, you know, like I said, the Poonang poets are probably the best at it. Doing the sensuous, have you heard of them? The Poonani Poets, they've been around for several years. Jessica Holter is the leader of that group, and they go out and they do, you know, erotic poetry, basically, and they have people behind them acting out what they're talking about while they're doing their poetry, which
right.
I think is awesome. You know, they've been on Real Sex, they've been on HBO and shows and a lot of this kind of thing. So, I mean, I'm not saying you're just doing erotica. We know you do more than just erotica, but the thing is you have to be able to bring out what it is that you want people to know. Okay, let me see who this is right here. We got calling in. State your name, where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Snapper, what's good, baby?
How you doing?
I'm good.
I know
I'm
who
good.
This
what's
is.
What's really good? Yeah.
But look, man, we just had you on a few minutes ago doing your thing. So are you gonna do some stuff now or what?
Man, listen, let me tell you. Let me apologize first and foremost. I got double booked here in Chi-Town. I'm hosting a live show. So I just had somebody stand in for me, you know, because I think
right.
the first hour I'm here, man. I'm ready to go. Thank you for having me as always. Hello, everybody. Let me jump right on in.
Right. Go ahead,
right
brother.
Here we go. In the midnight hour, paralyzed by pussycat's power, your higher calling calls me.
Oh, he got dropped. Wow. He'll be back. Okay. He was right
wow.
there. Wow. Anyway, you know, that's technology sometimes, but I'm looking at the switchboard in here, and he just dropped off. So we'll get him back here in a minute. But, you know, he's very into this thing, as you can tell by his attitude. And here he is again. We got him back. Okay, GPA, go ahead, brother. I know you got cut off. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. I apologize for that, people. Here we go. Midnight hour. Paralyzed by the pussycat's power. Your vaginal rain is now my shower. Aggression, aggressive is so for mistress, I do not cower. I become acquainted with feathers of the pillow. Your vaginal, an exotic flower, let me make it a weeping willow. Man in the boat, red in the face, so with condescension I tell him hello. Savage, sexual savagery, but don't believe you allow entrance to be mellow. Clothes discarded, sea of lust finally parted. Initiation of what was initiated hours ago. Nemo's Nautilus never went this slow. Tables temptingly turned, so as you become the wind and blow. Blowing hard, blowing soft, juggling as if you were an artist in a pre-ring circus. Testicles relaxed, manhood and attention, wanting your attention, but please don't hurt us. Crossing midnight in the Midwest, but don't you dare, damning debauchery, do you rush? My bass voice wants to yell to the heavens for mercy, but you tell me to hush. This be my dream of having sex with you. Forgive me if I blush in the midnight hour. my poem.
GPA on Word Sexy Radio this evening, y'all. You got any questions? I'm going to call in the number 347-215-8539. It's Word Sexy Radio, and we got Toy Honey on here as well, GPA. She's a poet, and she's been listening to you.
What's her
and
name?
We played. Her name is Toy Honey.
I've heard Toy Honey before on two different occasions. One, she came on your show about
right.
a month or some change ago, and then
mm-hmm.
she was on, I was in an erotic challenge last year on another show, and she came on and did something. So I'm quite familiar. How you doing, sister?
She's there. Are you there, Toy?
Okay, I'm sorry about that, y'all. How you doing, GPA? I thought I was talking to y'all, and I'm on mute.
Yeah, what's going on with you?
Stop. It's all good.
So he knows who you are.
Wow.
It's hard to forget somebody with a name like that, voice like that. You have one of those voices, like my tag team partner. Well, posted like my tag team partner, Softly Spoken. You have one of those voices that demand attention, so... And your name is unique, so that always helps. So, you know, keep doing your
thing. Where is Miss Cotton this evening? Is she available?
Well, actually, she's inside the show, whereas I'm hosting, or co-hosting. So she slid in, took over hosting duties for me, so I come on out and do my thing, you know, that whole thing.
Right, I understand. Well, you know, we've been holding long because we understand that we know that you have things to do, but... How much time can you give us so we can make sure you get back to your show? Because we don't want to, you know, take
let
you
tell,
away.
Red, let me tell you something. Thank you for being flexible and working with me. I greatly appreciate you. Let me tell you what I got. I got poems. I didn't, you know, me and you know, and a lot of y'all don't know this, maybe. Me and Red know each other. We cool. We've done this a few
right.
times. So ain't too much he need to ask me or I need to tell him that he don't know or whatever the case. So, ladies, what I basically came to do tonight is entertain you. So I got poems.
Okay.
I got a new book called... Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No, we're good. Go ahead and keep talking, man. We want the poems. Go ahead and bring them out.
Here we go. I got a new book. It's called The Land of Multiples, the follow-up to the Book of 24 Orgasms. I'm just going to let them fly, and then we'll figure it out from there. Here we go.
I'm going to sit my ass back then and let your ass go. Go ahead.
Here we go. He suppressed his cockiness with a poker face. It's difficult knowing... what is about to go on. He applies the oil to dark-skinned body so he will resemble flawless ebony. Anxious energy flows through his body, grasping obelisk and awakening its growing spurt. At the edge of his bed, he waits. They join him. Pleasure is the purpose they have come for, and it is both for him and themselves. Lena is tall, slender, and dark. Ariel is voluptuous, tan, and of similar height. They are dressed in black, his favorite, sipping, sharing vodka from the same glass, intimately close as if the women had been lovers themselves. They are. They approach. On his back, they push him, left and right hands on his chest. Lip of hers engulfs the tip of his hardness, while lips of hers devour its sides. The sounds are reminiscent of famished females lapping up remnants. His equilibrium spins, loses its balance, and wonders where time went. They exchange places until the syrupy snow becomes their lipstick with a chocolate cone still made of granite. They remove remnants so obelisk is as it began. Now he begins his assault. Ariel is now on her back. He enters her flowing fruitful fountain. He then motions for Lena to come from making drinks. She places the drinks down and obeys his command. With his left hand, he takes hold of her right hand. A mischievous smile takes over Ariel's face. Lena's lips merge with Ariel's while Lena's chalice is in his mouth. It is a triangle or human wheelbarrow formed when all lovers are in place. The scene of debauchery is a purported epic. Passionate and deep kisses between the women intensify, while his thrust of granite and geometric movements of his tongue are at a pace frenetic. Minutes pass. Minutes pass. The minutes slowly pass, but still they have not slowed. Debate which is louder, the moans and screams or the friction combined with moisture created. The point is irrelevant and mute. He seems to plunge deeper, deeper and deeper still with both of his erotic appendages. His prey, both high and low, reciprocate in kind. The scent of this interlude is in the air. Limbs begin to falter, yet are renewed. Nectar down his esophagus, intoxicating as if from tree of life had been brewed. One, two, three. Loud, louder, and even louder. The orgasms, the screams come. They collapse in a hedonistic heap. Man on top of woman, woman on top of woman, breathing heavy. Words not spoken. Waters of Venus and Mars are the ocean they tread on now, waiting for mere moments to start again. The three of them, my poem.
Man, I tell you, if mugs don't get hot and all that shit over that, then I don't know. I mean, those are good in the portrait, but you can, that's a whole damn fuck scene and shit. But see how he did that was in a manner that, you know, everybody has a different way of they present erotica. And he's doing it in a portrait form, but he keeps you wanting to know and keeps you on edge, those that are interested in that. And that's what we're saying, Toy. And you can do that, you know.
Well, congratulations on your book, Red.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, I see you still doing it, man. You listen, I got to tell y'all don't know, y'all know about Red. Red been kicking ass for a long time with books. So,
right.
You know, that's just his thing. Let me,
he's right.
He's been kicking ass with books. So when I came on with my first book, he was already 7 in or whatever the case may be. So I was like, you know, let me just stay in my lane and do my thing, man. And, you know, so I'm proud of you, brother. I'm glad to know you. I tell people all the time, I'm glad to know you.
And I know you mean that, and that's good to hear that from people, because like you said, I'm 12 in now, so I'm trying to get it out there, man, because that's what I do. I write because I love writing, and I want people to enjoy reading, so that's what we do. You know, we try to get it out there. So you've been touring all over the place, man. We're gonna let you talk a little bit about that, and we're gonna let you do another poem because you got about 40. You got 40 minutes. So I don't know if you can do the whole 40 minutes, but. You know, so how's the tour going?
It's phenomenal. And, we just came back from Houston, Texas. We was at the NAACP Authors Pavilion. We're headed to Milwaukee this weekend for the World African Fest. And then got a few things that just pop up. The cool thing about this is that you can look at a month and you got a few things in it. And then a couple of phone calls that happen, and all of a sudden now you're back to back and back. Going to St. Louis next. We'll be in Atlanta. I'm on a cruise in Atlanta. I'll be performing. So it's a blessing, to be honest with you, man. And Red, the cool thing about being on the show with you, and I always like to give love to people who give me love, is that you were with me when I started out, when people didn't really know me, or, you know, I had one book. And, you know, GPA was just sort of regional. And now, you know, not that I'm saying I'm this big star or nothing like that, but now it's to see the growth spurt, to see where it's come from, and to be back on your show, because you, with every book I've had, you've been with me. So the progression, I kind of can benchmark how I've been by being on your show. So it's real cool, man. I'm blessed. I'm real fortunate. So.
And I appreciate it, because you have grown a lot, and Cotton has grown as well with you. Both of y'all have started, because, you know, her career started with her just doing a poem and coming on the show, and now I think she's 6 or 5 books in herself. And out there touring as well, and doing CDs. We play one of her cuts.
She's killing dudes. She's out here killing dudes, man. Hey, listen.
That's what I'm saying.
If dudes come up, dudes, if you ever come to the show, what kind is there, man? Listen, man. Either if you're gonna bring your girl or your woman, excuse me, don't be overreacting too much, man. A couple of dudes and got themselves in a little trouble acting out at shows because she didn't done her thing. So don't do that. If you come by yourself, you know, she's with me, so don't overreact that way, too. So, you know, that whole thing. So, but it's been cool, Red. I mean, it's been real cool. I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
Got a lot of things. Working on a new CD. So, you know.
I'm glad you guys are doing that, man. And hopefully, are y'all supposed to be doing St. Louis in September?
St. Louis in September. We're coming to Kansas. I think we're coming to Kansas either November or December. She hasn't told me.
Yeah.
She's like my pimp, because she just tells me where to go when I go, and I just perform. She just tells me,
hey,
you got to show up here. I'm like, okay. They give her a check, and she gives me what I'm
supposed to have.
He's your pimp? Okay, all right. Well, God damn it.
Listen, acceptance is the first step to recovery. So, listen, I can accept the fact that I'm just a fool, man. I just do what I'm told. She tells me to go. Like, you know, I lost weight. Like you read, I lost weight, right? And I'm in pretty good shape now. So she'll tell me, take your shirt off. This show, take your shirt off. So I got to take my shirt off because she said to do it. So.
Well, you know, that's good when you can work with somebody that can, you know, that you have a chemistry with and everything. And that's, you know, that's what it's about, you know, when you can get out here and do stuff. And to have somebody that is like-minded with you, that can work with you and stuff is important, too, you know, because a lot of times we get people that, you know, they don't understand what you do. Like this show, I've had people that didn't understand. I'd be on the show and I flirt, I talk shit, but it's what I do on the show. That doesn't necessarily mean that's me all the time. Most of the time it is, but you know what I'm saying? It's entertainment, and sometimes people can't pass that. They get stuck. So, you know, it's good to be with someone that is like-minded and know what you're doing and know what it's about and can understand and support you. Important.
Yes.
And those that are writing books out there, whatever genre you're in, you got to make sure you got it. Go ahead.
She's wonderful. She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Check this out, man. This is what I'm going to do. If you don't mind, I got this this one poem I did live last week, and I tore it down. I want to do it exclusively on your show, and then I may bounce because it's a little lengthy. But this is what I'm going to say to anybody listening, any of you ladies, you're listening, wherever you're listening, you listen. Before I do this poem, relax, get your drink, take a sip of your drink, and lean back.
What more are you going to do? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, this one, Red, this one right here is, that's all I'm going to say. This is, and Toy Honey, when I get done, I want you to give me your feedback. I want you, first thing that comes to mind, when I get done, you can tell me. If you say to me, GPA, that kind of sucked, I can take that. That's cool. You can tell me. But whatever comes to mind when I get done with this poem, you tell me. Okay, sister?
All right.
All right, I appreciate it. I'm going on this. This is called Nightmare on the Red Line. Here we go. We decided this morning what we would do. We drove separate cars, arrived at separate times, parked in McDonald's parking lot to the west of the station. She had arrived ahead of me, purchased one day passes. As soon as I went towards her, abruptly she walks away, dropping one of the passes. Picking it up and resuming standing, I catch a glimpse of her. The red bottom of her black heels clicking towards the stairway. I watched her calves, her thighs, her posterior gave life to black leggings, black flowing top covered by short black leather jacket. It gets cold at night in Chicago, even in the springtime. Arriving on the platform, we stand several feet apart. My eyes never leave her. Every now and then, her gaze finds me. She shakes her head, laughing, but once she looks upon me up and down like a will appraising her prey. We board different cars. She is on the very last car. I am on the one next. The doors close. I can see her through the cars. It isn't hard because we are the only people on the train. We have rode the train this way for 2 weeks just to make sure of that. She knows I'm watching, and as the train departs the station, she moves closer. I move to the south of my car. She moves to the north of hers. The steel, the air, but nothing else separates us. Her smile sends me deep into my affection for her. As if reading my thoughts, she leaves the window, discards her jacket, and with a feline's grace, she walks the length of her car, stopping, switching, turning, twisting her backside back and forth. Returning in my direction, she has unbuttoned her top, comes to the window smiling, and leans forward. Moisture grips my mouth. Oxygen is nowhere to be found, and she covers herself as if I had seen that which is about to be unseen. Coming forward again, her lips close, and but not touching the window, she says three words, touch it now. In an obeying trance, I comply without hesitation. I unbutton my button of my khakis, then the zipper. Freedom like a slave coming through the Underground Railroad, my appendage finds its way out of my boxes. It's free! Pulsating, swelling, throbbing, trembling as it begs to be touched, comforted. Looking up from my dilemma, I look towards her. She nods her approval, smirking at me, gazing into the universe that is hers, second only to God. thumb at my tip. Fingers meet soon, grip soft, then gripping hard. 1, 12, 22, 31 strokes repeated again. 1, 12, 22, 31 strokes. Eyes closed, open, closed, catching glimpses of her, and she is no longer there. Fingers move my chin to where she stands over me. Same seductive smirk. Do you need my help with that? We arrive at the 87th Street stop. Get up, she commands me, and I am met with no resistance. She sits where I once was. I stand in the spot where she once stood. She pulls my khakis down far enough to have access, but not to make me look like an immature teenager. She rips boxes down the front. Her lips curl in a smirk at my hardness pointing at her. She kisses the tip, licks the beginning recesses that wish to escape. Manicured left hands, fingers fine, feel fondle, off-neglected undercarriage. Off-neglected undercarriage. Manicured right hands, fingers grab, pull, and squeeze my backside. Her gloss, soft, moist lips capture where my thumb and her kiss had been. Eyes move upward, meeting mine, quick wink from her right eye. Eyes return to the task she's performing from tip to base. Her mouth and throat travel without ever taking in a follicle. No follicle is taken in as she inhales, exhales hardness. Only obelus touches tender tonsils, no follicles. Multitasking, pulling and squeezing of my buttocks. Multitasking, netting undercarriage with gentle aggression. All while lips treat appendage like a lollipop. Ice cream cone, or like the chocolate left on the spoon when a mother baked chocolate cake. Her lips lustfully lick length like that. If not for the pole extending from the floor to the ceiling of the train, legs would shake, wishing to buckle, buttocks tighten. Only top of her head is visible and not her motions faster than the speed of a train until the train now pulls into 79th Street. My lungs let out a deep exhale. She rises to stand but licks the rest bare, few remnants left on her lips and me. The rest is gone, swiftly turning her face to where she was once sitting, pulling leggings down just enough, beautiful, begging, bountiful buttocks, daring me. Taking a measured step backwards, she gives a teasing rub of her posterior to me. Back to life I am. I smack lightly. I smack as if an administrator administrating corporal punishment. I smack as if vicious vendetta against her buttocks. In succession with maniacal exuberance, I go smack, 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 smack. Over her shoulder, she smiles, nods. Soggy, dripping is her cabin from earlier escapades. My entrance acknowledged only by her gasp and opening, closing of her speaking walls. Her height shorter than mine. Significance is while left smacks continuously determined, daring, darting, thrusts have life of their own, thrusting, trying to tear tears from vaginal happiness in the form of orgasms multiplied. My right hand lifts her head towards heavens so that the call to the Father, the reverberations from the barbaric back shots reach her central nervous system. Then the same right hand circles her throat, squeezing ever so slightly. Her curses made with exhortations to continue all things of debauchery that I am doing. My name has changed several times. Compliments in derogatory terms. Confession for another time. I am trying to commit murder. This vaginal, my vaginal, is willing victim. And even I a man anymore? Savagely, I pull her hair. I smack her bottom. I relieve her of oxygen. Her screams scream throughout the length and width of the train. I lost count of my strokes at 322. I started count again at 24. Lost it. Started count again at 24. But I never stopped stroking. Nails have left traces in the seat skin. She falls forward. I stand. Villain. With villainous intent forming in my mind and written on my face. Her breathing heavy, body strewn across seats, waters of hers spilling underneath as well. 63rd, 55th, and 47th Street have passed while Sox Park approaches. Regaining composure, she looks from me to her lower self, so similar to a serpent as it moves back and forth, waiting again to strike. familiar smile reborn. She tells me to take it all. I move towards her. She feigns fighting me off for a few moments, pushing her violently on her right side, pinning her left leg high on pole, human V-shape her legs with wide width, positioning myself to enter forbidden taboo entrance at edge, slowly, softly, steadily, stealthily entering. She's trying to relax, but fear and longing have her conflicted. No. Stop. But then she says, do it now. Come on. And then a deep voice, dude. Dude. I turn to look at this man standing a few feet from me. And he says, I thought you wanted to get off at 55th Street. The next stop is Cermak. And this is my nightmare on the red line. My poem.
Wow, man.
Wow.
You know, what we need to do right now, I'm going to let Toy Honey give her opinion, and then after that, we're going to let you tell people how they can get you if they need you to come in or how they can get your books and stuff.
Wow. That was very visual, and at first I was trying to figure out what it meant. I'm like, okay, I know this ain't what I think it's about, but as you further went on, I'm like, okay. But, wow. It was good, but wow. You
hope
got
it
me wet.
Good.
It was good,
wet?
But wow.
Toy, are you wet?
How?
I know that's a personal question. That's a personal question.
That's my business.
Okay.
Wow. Thank you, sister. I appreciate your feedback. I look forward to working with you in the near future.
Okay.
All
so,
right.
So
thank
you. Tell people how they can get you, if they want to get you to come to their town or a town near them, or how they can get your books or your audio or what. How do you do that?
Thank you. First of all, thanks again, mm-hmm. Red. I appreciate you, brother. You can go, all the books and my CDs and things of that nature, you can go to www.iblowyourmind.com. For all my colored folk, I know y'all be needing to ask. That's why I said it like that. But y'all be needing to ask. I am on Amazon as well, because you got to have that official thing for colored folk. Otherwise, they don't believe you. So I'm on Amazon as well. If you want to book me for performances or the like, whatever the case may be, you go to SheilaTeamGPA@yahoo.com. That's the email. She's like in charge. Her and my brother James. James Gordon, they check the emails. They do all that. They do all the booking. I just rhyme. So that's the way you do it. You can also come to my Facebook page, capital letters, G.P.A. Greatest Poet Alive. And just, you know, holler at me. Say you heard me, say you liked it, whatever the case may be. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Well, we thank you for taking time out of your tour to come on Word Sexy Radio. We knew you was going to be here. There was a couple of other authors that were supposed to come, and they might have got scared because you were here. So not a problem. We'll get them back next time. But we thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come on Word Sexy Radio. And, DV, you got anything you want to say?
I know, man. I'm good. You know, my draw's wet, too.
Okay, all right,
okay. I like DV because he don't bullshit at all. He don't bullshit. He tells you straight up what it is
that's
on his mind. No bullshit. What up, brother?
That's DV Hens.
No,
man.
That's
you.
Yeah, it's all good. Let me get on out of here, man. Thank y'all so much.
Okay. All right, well, we thank you.
Night,
thank you for calling in. Okay.
All right, peace and blessings.
All right. GPA.
Okay, so that was the Greatest Poet Alive, GPA, and you can tell why he has that name. He goes around, and if nobody believes it, he does. And the poems that he does is quite exhilarating. So, you know, for those who get into that, that's what you get. And we're glad to have him whenever he comes on. He's blown up from in the last couple of years to just one poem to where he is now today. So, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to be serious about the craft that you're in, and you have to sell yourself. As we said before in the beginning, that's the thing you have to do. If you want to be in the game, you got to play the game, and you got to play it well. And you can't take, like DV said, you got to have tough skin and be able to take those things. And, you know, everybody's not going to like what you do, but those that do,
you know, you got to make sure you accommodate for them. So that's what it's all about. So, Toy, honey, what do you think?
What I think about what?
About everything. What you heard tonight about the portrait and all that. Because you know,
I'm still stumped over that poem he did. So you just woke me out of the daze.
well, that
everything was good.
I mean, it must have worked then, yeah. I mean, that's the objective, right? To get you in that daze, to make you actually see your legs up on his shoulders and all this shit, or whoever's shoulders. You know, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. And that's what we try to do in our erotica when we write erotica. And whatever genre you do, you want to pull your audience in your world. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's what you strive for. You don't want to just put something out. And some people think that their stuff is just perfect because it's what they like. You got to go beyond your likes when you're writing for someone else to enjoy and put it in where it's your likes, but you want them to be able to get what they want. The objective is to get them to see themselves in it or to see themselves
right.
doing whatever it is that you're trying to explain. You know, whether it's sex or whatever it is. It don't have to be sex. It can be anything. If you were explaining a murder, you want them to be able to see the murder happening in front of them.
Right.
You know, like you're watching in a movie or they're watching it through a window. That's your objective when you try to write and put those things together. And the same thing with poetry. You want them to see what you're feeling, why you wrote this poem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm trying to say. DV?
No, he got it right. I mean, you got it right. The whole point of poetry, of writing, of anything, is for the reader or whoever's doing the reading to imagine themselves in that position, where so much so that they can see, you know, they visualize even the last thing that they did with the last nasty person they was with, you know. And these are the things that make us who we are. These are the things that kind of move us from day to day. It's like, man, that was hot. And you're going to catch flashbacks. I mean, we done all been there. Where we done had, you know, we done got screwed so good that we shaking in the shower and shit, you know. Or you sitting at your desk, you get a cold chill, you know, thinking about some of the things that you've done. And that's what, you know, poetry and writing are supposed to do. They're supposed to make you re-envision, you know, these things, these nasty, you know, salacious, seductive things that, you know, these people are telling you or that you're reading are just supposed to get you to that point where you're like, man, I need to do it again.
Absolutely. I love to get feedback from people who have read my book, especially couples, because when they come and they said they read the book together and how it enhanced them or it helped them when they read it together with their sexual experience, you know, that makes me feel really good. Not that I'm trying to do that, but if that's what they wanted to do in their reading and it helped them in that way, I mean, I'm happy because,
right.
you know, I'm glad that I can touch them in some type of way. I've had a lot of women come to me and they say, oh, you know, this is explicit. Oh, you know, and then I ask, well, is it too deep? Is it too much? No. You know, most of the time they want them. And a lot of times what I do with the writing that I do, and I'm not trying to blow my horn or anything. It's not about me. It's just about writing, period.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that people are reading anyway. If they're thinking this word, they're thinking dick, you want to write dick. So don't put this tool. I mean, that's good, too. That works. But a lot of times people want to see what they want to see the word. You know, sometimes
yeah.
people want to see that stuff because even if it ain't porn, they want to say they want to feel like they're doing something that's wordy. But they don't want everybody in the world to know they're doing it. Does that make sense?
To me.
Yeah.
Makes a lot
I mean,
of sense.
So that's the thing. That's what we're trying to do. You know, get them to want that, like that. And that's why I enjoy writing the stuff I do. And whatever I'm writing, I try to make them visualize the whole thing. Because there are certain murder scenes in my books. I want them to see the bullet going in the dude's head and his head exploding or whatever I'm writing about. I want to be able to them to see that.
Yeah. Red, the thing is, the whole point of writing is so that people can imagine. You know, you're not going to, you know, talk about, you know, this dude with all these muscles and this really big dick. You ain't going to say he got a wee-wee. You know what I'm saying? Because that just destroys the image.
Exactly.
You know, or if you're like in a murder scene, you know, you're not going to be like, he was shooting bullets, bang, bang, splush, splush, hit the body. You know, like, splush, splush, what the hell? You know, it exactly. does not. It takes away from the intensity factor when you use the wrong words, but it
right.
adds to it when you use the right ones.
So, in my books, shit, ass, fuck, stick it in the ass, and all that works. My fans like that. Now, everybody don't like reading it that way. You have to pick what you like to read. I understand
right.
it. But the thing is people, when they pick up a Red Snapper book and they know it's erotica, they're expecting to see those things. Just like if they pick up a DeviantArt book, they're expecting to see certain things that you do with your writing style. That's what it's about. Making you that brand that they identify with. And when you do your poetry touring, that's what they're going to expect from you, the Toy Honeyway.
And anytime you're trying to, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with deviating from, you know, what got you to that place. But people will, don't worry about the people who tell you, oh, they should have stuck with the old formula, because if you're not growing, then you're not learning. If you're not learning, you're not doing any better. So, I mean, we all have to grow out of our comfort zone and see if we can master something else. Once you've mastered, you know, poetry, you may want to try spoken word. Hell, you may want to try novel, you know, being a novelist. You know, but you always want to look.
Right.
You know, you always want to look towards the next bigger thing, but keep your foot rooted in what you do best.
And if you look at it, if you listen to it, it was poetry what he was doing, right? But really, it was a story. He was really a storyteller.
Right.
He could actually have written that down, and you could have read that and got the same effect. But he doesn't see that in himself right now because he sees a poem. He sees himself doing poetry, but he's a storyteller. So, you know, that's it. And he's grown a lot because his poems have grown dramatically from when I first heard him to what he's doing now. So,
yeah, growth.
That's what you got to do. You just got to do that. And you got to write in different things. You know, I'm trying to branch off at other genres. I don't want to be just stuck as an erotic writer, although I like writing about sex. I like to write about other things as well. And I want people to see that I can do that.
Well, the thing is, just because it includes sex doesn't make it erotica. Because God knows we got a bunch of other, you know, stuff out there that has sex. And they're like, oh, I'm not writing erotica, even though 90% of this book is sex. This is,
right.
I don't know, you know, this is street fiction. Or this is science fiction. Like, wait a minute, you know, just because it's aliens fucking don't mean it's not, you know, erotica.
You're right, though. You're right. I mean, you changed it from humans to an alien, so it's science fiction now.
Yeah, it's science fiction now.
Right.
You know, just because there's guns and drugs, it's street fiction. And just because, you know,
Christian fiction or whatever, you know. But what I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago, she's a big author. I'm going to say her name because it wasn't bad. It's Shonda Tate Dennis who told me. She doesn't write Christian fiction, but everybody thinks her books are because of the titles. Okay? But the things that's in there, I mean, you know, because like a lot of her books might say, let the church say amen or, you know, whatever. But a lot of it might have a Christian sense to it, but it's not really so because it's sex in the book and everything. But a lot of times what she said was to me that got me is that she picked up a Christian fiction book, and she didn't say who the author was. But these people... This woman came in the room and caught her reverend husband in the bed with Sister So-and-so. Instead of her getting mad, she was like, let's pray. What the hell gonna do some shit like that? Let's pray? You're going to be picking up a gun and shit, talking about let's pray, let's shoot, let me fuck you up.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But she said that's what turns her off with Christian fiction, because these Christian fiction authors try to make like everything is about... Let's pray, let's do this, which it should be some pieces, but let's just be real. When you're in a life situation like that, are you going to be thinking about praying? When you catch your man in the beer with Sister Somebody or Sister Cucumber and Brother Cabbage is fucking the shit out of her and it's your wife and you doing hard, you trying to do right, and you're like, damn, they in there doing it in my bed?
I mean, there's some that are genre busters. I mean, there is a difference between fiction and Christian fiction. You know, we all know that the ideology behind Christian fiction is to fall down and get up without cussing, you know. And essentially, that's what Christian fiction is.
Basically, it was the end result of somebody gets saved or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, anything outside of that realm, if you bring in sex or if you bring in cursing, you know, yeah, it's real life, but when you're reading Christian fiction, you don't want to deal with real life. You want to deal with spirituality.
When you're reading anything, you don't want to deal with real life. You want to deal with...
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying is...
the fiction that you're getting into.
Is that what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying, Red, is that they want to categorize that stuff as fiction and not Christian fiction. You see
right.
what I'm saying? Just because it happens in a church does not automatically
right.
make it Christian fiction.
I understand
but
that.
They, and that's what, you know, the distinguishing characteristic is. It's just like a self-help book that tells you to go kill yourself. You know, it's not really self-help if it's telling you to kill yourself, though it is a form of self-help, according to Dr. Kevorkian.
But anyway, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just, I don't know. But I see, I understand the concept that you have and the analogy that you're bringing across. I do get that. But the thing is it's not real life. You're going to sit there and say, I'll catch you in the bed with somebody. And the first thing come out of my lips, I'm sorry, I caught you wrong.
Yes, right, but
I mean, shit ain't happening.
We don't read books for realism. Okay, most of us don't read books for realism.
They'll do reviews and tell you, that ain't real. All this sex and no rubbers. Come on, man.
Oh man, not this again.
Come on,
not Agent Zero.
You brought it up because you said people are not reading for realism, but they are. Some of them are looking for that. And they'll
try to
use it that way.
There's books of dudes walking around with 15 inches of dick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We all know that's not reality, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, if that woman can deep throat 15 inches, then more power to her. She'd probably die, but, you know,
that's
it is what it is.
I don't put that. If I say the size of the guy, I'm going to make it a size that is reasonable. Now, you know, some people want to hear about size or whatever. I guess that's part of their getting hot or whatever and masturbating what they're going to do when they read the shit. But the thing is, you know, you want to make a story. It's imagination is what you're trying to do.
Right.
But you're 15 inches and 3 inches round. Who's fucking with that? No woman wants that. Well, there's some that might, but I don't know.
Man, please. There's some women like, man, I want to feel it in my belly. Like, ugh. You don't even know what you're You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. Everybody gets off differently. And you know what? Once we get off that way, we grow. You know what I'm saying? Do whatever position enough times, climax enough times, and you're going to hunger for something different, something extra, something a little bit more. And ultimately, that's what Rashonda Tate Billingsley gives us. For those people who want to branch out from specifically, you know, Christian situations that are not always realistic, they're going to want to branch out to her. They're going to want to read her. And by the number of books she's written and how popular she is, clearly she has that following of people who want to break out of that cycle. But they should read it with the understanding of knowing that it is not your typical quote-unquote Christian fiction. It has Christians in it, and it's fiction, but it's not necessarily Christian fiction.
Well, all her books are not based around the church, though. I mean, you know, a lot of people think, but they're not, because they look at the title, and they do it, because you can look at some of her titles like A Good Man's Hard to Find, Holy Rollers, you know, The Devil is a Lie, you know, My Brother's Keeper. Those are titles that you associate with the church, but it's not necessarily means that it's all church.
But if I had a title called Do It in the Butt, and then I called it a street lit novel, you're like, whoa. It's called Do It in the Butt. You know, shouldn't that fall under, you know, the realm of erotica at least? Or if I had Mars versus Earth, you know, and then it's nothing but erotica, you're like, okay, this is Mars versus Earth. I'm thinking this is science fiction. It's not. So, I mean, we all do that. We all try to fit use the title that fits the novel. But so what? They're words, you know? And if people want to believe that it's Christian fiction, then they need to be educated otherwise. Because, like I said, it may have Christians in it, and it's fiction, but those words may not fit together. It may not be Christian fiction.
Yeah. Well, she's done a great job, and, you know, and like I said, now she's going to do a movie in September of the first book she has out. Regina King is actually going to do she's going to direct it. She's going to be directing, and Queen Latifah is producing. It's called Let the Church Say Amen, which is the first book I think she came out with. And it is now going to be a movie. And they're also talking about the book now, that the secret she kept, that's coming out, that's out right now, actually. They're talking about doing that as well. So, I mean, you know, it happens. You pay your dues, you get it done. You know, it's that way, you know.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
There's a market for everything.
Right. You know. And I'm sure it's going to be funny because everybody's going to think one thing and they're going to get something else out of it. So it's great, you know. But, you know, Michael Bazin, we can say him. He's trying to get his Maintenance Man book out there. Okay, so the objective of that is what? You know, whatever. So it's just what it is. But, you know, we you know, so Tori, you say your book is going to hopefully be out by the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So are you going through your own self-publishing, or is it a publishing company that's working with you, or what?
Self-publishing.
Okay. All right, well, just let us know, because we want you to come on and debut it here on Word Sexy Radio, and, you know, we want you to be able to you know, get your think about the audio, you know, if you you can work on that,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that'll give you some ways, and then you're going to have to get out there and let people hear you.
Right. Practice in the mirror. That's the best thing you can do.
You have to let people hear you, especially in the room you're in. They have to hear you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I would do is practice in front of a mirror so that, number one, you know, you get all the shakes out of you. Because sometimes when you practice in front of that mirror, you're like, oh, man, I know my poems. But when you're reciting them, you stumble over a few words. Keep practicing until you got it down. Then practice in front of a few small people, and then let that group get larger so that by the time you're ready to record, you're already familiar with the subject matter. You already know how you want to say it. You already know the tone, the inflection, everything that is required to make it as bam as possible. You already got it under wraps.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would not have a problem in that part because, there have been some pieces of mine where I've done it, and, you know, after I'm done talking about it or saying what the title is, and once I get ready to recite it or read it, say I'm on a show, I get right into it, and then when I'm done, I jump out of whatever, you know, I was in to read that poem, and, you know, I'm back to the way I am. So I have no problem with that part.
All right, that's cool. Like I said, perfect practice makes perfect. At least that's what they used to tell me. Is Red still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, of course. But, the show wouldn't be going on if I was gone because everything would cut off. But anyway.
Wow, we've had some sessions where you wasn't there. We were like, hello? Hello?
Yeah,
yeah, we could hear. We could all hear each other. But, you know, there was no more. Yeah.
Okay, I see. All right. Well,
that happened with, I think, Dreama the last time it happened.
Oh, yeah, that's right, when Dreama was on. Yeah, and I haven't talked to them in a while. I don't know what Dreama's doing right now. But anyway, we definitely thank you for coming on, Toy. I know you always become this guest that's not planned. And, you know, it's
unplanned guest.
And I want you to keep calling. I'm not going to always have you do this, but it's great that you do, and because we like talking to you anyway. And, you know, well, I'm glad GPA was able to make it tonight. And next week we're going to have the Fee Inc. authors, and they crazy as hell. Y'all think we crazy. Shit, they are off the damn chain with T.L. James and Ed Crew. So they're going to be on here going crazy. And 2 hours of them, okay? That's the only people that's coming on that's going to be guests. So that's enough for them. They're going to be talking about their anthology that's out. And I forget the name of it. It's called Suspect, I think it is, isn't it?
Yep.
Maybe?
Uh-huh.
And it's a lot of stuff going on in that book. So we're going to be talking to them about that and their future endeavors as well. So we're going to break it off a little early tonight. But we thank you all for coming on. And, you know, it's the way it is. We do it when we're sexy, and we're going to keep it up. So... y'all have a good evening.
Do the same, Red.
All right.
I nothing else that needs to happen. I want you. Now.
Baby, I'm excited. Sad to hear you're invited. Listen to me. Take it slowly. Take it, baby.
Take it, baby. I've made the decision. I'm ready. Full compromise. If you come with me, you can go through what you need to go through. But I want you. I want you.